To find the prosperous old neighborhood where Jiří Suchý lives, we drive up into the hills that overlook Prague. Following the streetcar rails, we pass the thousand-year-old Prague Castle and turn toward quiet and well-tended residential streets, lined with vine-covered stucco houses. This pleasant spot is what Suchý has called home for many decades. Jiří Suchý, composer, singer, poet, and renowned Czech theater director, greets us at the door wearing slippers and casual clothes. With smiles and nods, he ushers us into a tiny entrance hall. There are canes bolted to the wall upside down so coats can be placed on their curving hooks. Steel helmets line the walls near the ceiling, and at eye level are paintings, photos, and fabric sculptures in every shade of the rainbow. At 61, this luminary of the East European stage is a slender, handsome, pale man with fun in his eyes, but a tired face. As he leads us into his spacious, vividly decorated living room, Suchý begins to recall his long career.
In my identity card, it says actor. My only formal schooling was primary school, and the teacher only let me pass because she was very kind. I was stupid and lazy, but I am very hardworking now.
By Suhi's own account, his success came by accident. After completing military service, he took up graphic designing, but to amuse himself, Suchý started performing in amateur theatricals. He wanted to be a comedian, and music became his vehicle.
No one was going to write them for me, so I was more or less forced to create my own material. And it was a miracle, really, because some of my songs became instant hits overnight.
Docela malý blbý psíček seděl uprostřed ulice, seděl a hleděl.
Suchý credits the artistic climate of the 1950s and the quality of the competition for his popularity.
Everyone was doing awful songs, just sappy love songs like A Golden Lady in the Moonlight and I Would Love to Kiss Your Wonderful Red Lips. Terrible stuff like that, and my comic song sort of shocked the public. I had something called The Most Stupid Dog, and a blues piece entitled I Broke My Grandmother's Hand. And then there was a song called A Calf Shot a Cow. This caught the public's attention.
Že kvůli němu život si vemu, protože nemám klid.
Suchý's music caught the attention of the international press, too. It was the mid-1950s. American rock and roll was king in the West, and comparisons became inevitable.
The British press did a story about me, saying that I was the Elvis Presley of Prague. They were totally wrong. My lyrics, my band, were completely antithetical to Elvis's style. But the British didn't understand my comic lyrics. They just heard the rock and roll rhythm.
Když ty dítě zamane, kuchně se stane lesem, už do krtle nesjedem, já i vy to těžce nesem, že to taky nezvedem. Dítě věří tomu.
No, byl jsem tehdy velice výstřední.
At that time in socialist Czechoslovakia, I was, well, pretty eccentric. For one thing, I wore a red vest. Today that would surprise no one, but in those days it was very strange. I was no beatnik wearing black, I wore red. I wanted to be a comedian. People craved laughter, they needed smiles. And in those days, in those conditions, doing satire was a very complicated matter.
Suchý performed in small theaters for small audiences. But because he'd already caught the attention of the international press, critics for official Czech newspapers had to take notice of his work, and they didn't like it. They condemned Suchý's satire. Government harassment soon followed.
Let's say that they were trying to bring me over to their religion. But I wouldn't join their club, so they tried to keep my song off the radio and my writing out of the newspapers. But my popularity just grew, and the regime realized that harassing me made them look bad. So I won the first round.
Vždyť byste se na mě nemusel ani dívat.
To je právě to, co nedovedu. Já když hraju a něco se mi mihá před...
Round two of Suhi's bout with the government began in the early 1960s when he founded the Semaphore Theatre Company. It became the country's most popular theatre. Now in its 35th season, the Semaphore survived because it was popular and because no matter what obstacles the government put in Suhi's way, there were rewards.
Naštěstí české publikum, a to je, myslím, naše...
There is something special about East Europeans. Our audience could read between the lines. Our theater was always sold out a month in advance, because people came to our theater so they could demonstrate inwardly. I didn't have to even hint at politics in my plays, just merely the fact that I was performing a different style than the official culture was enough. People supported me. They crossed their fingers for me.
So he talks with animation and no self-pity. These, he says, are interesting tales to tell about interesting times. No more than that. In the warm glow of light in his living room, Suhi graciously pours mineral water for his guests and snuggles back into one of the overstuffed chairs that surround his coffee table. But when the conversation turns to the Prague Spring, Suhi lights up.
Čím ale jsme se blížili k roku 1968, tak ta...
In 1968, the censorship was fading. We had absolute freedom, but then the Soviet tanks arrived and all that was reversed. I was one of the number one enemies, so suddenly, again, I was forbidden to perform on television, on radio. I couldn't make records, couldn't publish any of my writing. The only thing they left me was my theater. They couldn't close it down because it was so popular, but they tried to disintegrate it from the inside. They promised my colleagues anything, anything if they would leave me. Of all my co-workers, only one left. That's how I survived the worst times.
Suhi says the best way he could serve his countrymen was to produce plays for which the audience could read between the lines. Then, Suhi says, they could make a private, albeit small, demonstration by applauding subversive ideas in the safety of his dark theater. Suhi says there were unwritten rules of survival under the communist regime.
No, byl to prostě hledání i rovnováhy vlastně.
There were two different kinds of art that an artist in Prague learned to practice. One was, you create something that people enjoy seeing and interpreting. The other was the art of not going too far. It's a process of seeking balance. Nevertheless, I was summoned several times to the state police and held for the subversive character of my performances. And once I was offered an exit visa to leave the country in 14 days forever.
But Suhi declined the offer and kept the Semaphore Theater open, performing humorous musicals and plays tinged with what he calls very specific craziness. Suhi knew one thing for certain, he would never leave Prague.
Já nejsem emigrační typ. Navíc moje...
I am not the type to emigrate. And look, all my songs and all my plays are based on my knowledge of the Czech language. Very often, my work is games with words. That is something I cannot do anywhere else.
Přišel mi k svátku gratulovat Olda a přinesl mi žlutej tulipán a pěknou reprodukci.
One of Suhi's simpler compositions has touched the lives of every Czech. The gist of the lyrics sound a bit like the American anti-war ballad, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? In Suhi's song, when a soldier dies, the color fades from a flower his lover gave him. It's called the Tulip Song, and it's learned by every child in the country.
Pak jsem to s Oldou pěkně oslavil. Proč nechal jsem tulipán pod obrazem?
přitom musím ke své hanbě říct, že jsem vůbec nechtěl napsat.
I never intended to write a political song, but the Czech word for tulip happened to rhyme with the name of the last battle of the Czech Hussars, and it happened. An anti-war song emerged, and now it is in all the textbooks for primary school children, and all the children have to learn it by heart because it talks of peace.
A proto tvrdím, že když kvůli pánům se lidi začnou mezi sebou prát, neprospívá to ale vůbec tulipánům. A nezlobte se, já mám kytky rád.
But times have changed. And the children who sang the tulip song peacefully disposed of their communist rulers during the Velvet Revolution of 1989. Political and personal life is different now for all Czechs, Suhi included. Today his old friends and colleagues run the government. One playwright whose works he produced, Václav Havel, is president of the Czech Republic. And Suhi, who spent his entire career working against the establishment, sounds wistful.
A přiznám se, že teď mě někdy i se zasteskne a schází mi to, že nemám...
Nowadays, I'm sometimes sorry I have nothing to fight against. Now I can write whatever I please and hire whoever I please. And I must admit, yes, I am on the side of the governing group. And now some newspapers are saying that I am singing the government song.
Today, Suhi says he's writing poetry that's lighter and sillier than anything he's done since his youth. By the time he's 70, he says he wants to be free of his responsibilities and spend all his time writing. So he's training a new generation to take over his theater.
Zatím nic, poněvadž zatím je učím chodit po scéně a mluvit.
I'm trying not to tell them anything about their role in the society or about their position in the society. For some principal reason, there is one unifying element though, and that is our art. The art itself is political in a sense. I think it's a great art to be able to keep people together and keep them in good mood because we live in difficult times.
A potkal jsem ho na 30. straně, zrovna když rozvíjel jistou akci.
Our story of Yuri Suhi could end here. But there's an important postscript about Suhi's life and times. It's told by our driver and translator, Michael Dona. On the drive back to Prague Center, I tell Michael that I feel I missed something in my interview with Suhi. He lived through such hard times and managed to keep his theater going. But Suhi didn't really say much about the hardships. Our translator, Michael, was quiet for a moment. Then he said, "Let me tell you a story about my own family. A few years ago, my mother wrote something for me to give to my children. It was the story of her escape from a Nazi death march at the end of the war. She cried when she gave it to me. But after I read it, I said, 'Mom, this is all happiness and light. This reads like a nice novel. And I know that what happened to you was ugly, not happy.' But she insisted on her version. 'This is what I want your children to know,' she told me. Because now she doesn't want to remember the horrors. She just wants to live. She just wants to forget about the bad, think about the good. Now you understand, that's what life is for Suhi. He has won. His friends now run the government. And he doesn't care to remember the ugly past."
To, co utíká.